Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Neda. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's really good to be back. I feel energized. I feel whatever the opposite of burnt out is, like
cooled down.
Cooled down. Yeah. Cooled down, chilling out, max and relax and all cool.
Yeah. Pause. Cold for ice jokes. We're cool. We're cold. We're coming in. We're doing a thing we missed last week and I felt so bad. So I think right off the bat, hi, everyone. Sorry about neglecting Italy.
It's true. Thank you for understanding. We were both just so burnt out and feeling sick and exhausted and had no time to record. But we are back and we are very excited to talk about NHK and associated topics.
Last week was tough and schedules were tough and we're back now. And the good news is we're halfway through the Grand Prix season at this point. So everyone we've missed, we're going to end up talking about again. So it's fine.
It's totally fine. Italy is like a figment of our imagination in the grand scheme of the world.
That is offensive to me as a Southern European.
All right, sorry.
We do not do jokes on this podcast.
I didn't mean to imply that your neck of the woods is like in a Brigadoon situation.
It is, though, is the thing. Speaking of jokes, there is many new people who have shown up to this party, which is super exciting and fun and good and welcome, and we're thrilled to fucking have you. Welcome, take a seat, it's a good time. Should we tell people what they're getting themselves into?
Yeah, I think we should. I think it's good to sort of like let people know what they're getting into, you know, periodically, just on as there's like some highway on ramps of the season. Yeah, so we are the Iced Tea Podcast. We spill the tea on figure skating, which means that we just sort of shoot the shit. We're both lifelong figure skating fans and we're like theater people and we work in the arts. And so we comment a lot on stuff like artistry and we make a lot of jokes and we don't know anything about the technical side of things. We sort of do, but not more than you, probably less than you. And we say things sometimes that are factually incorrect, but we do our very best. Those are mostly me misspeaking about like what year anything happened ever, because I have no sense of time.
This is a comedy podcast.
It's a comedy podcast. We get interviews with awesome skaters sometimes. Sometimes we get interviews with people who aren't skaters. This is just our opinions. We're not like an unbiased news source and we're not.
My God, no.
So like if it's okay if you don't agree with us. If you don't agree with us and you don't find us entertaining, like you don't have to listen. That's okay. We're not offended. But we don't like answer to anybody. We don't have any sway. So like if we say that we don't like somebody, like nothing happens. Like we have no effect on the world. So it's like not worth getting that mad about.
Yeah, just chill. It's going to be a good time. We're here to have a good time and do jokes and talk about the thing that we love very much and we hope that you love very much. So it's going to be fun, yo. Having said all of that, let's dive into NHK.
It's going to be fun. And having said all of that, let's dive into some unfun shit.
Oh, God, yeah. So listen, here's the deal. We can't talk about NHK, which in and of itself was a good event and a lot of people performed really well. We can't talk about that without addressing several elephants in the proverbial room. A lot of people had to withdraw for a variety of reasons, most of which are injury related, in different like stages of people's healing processes and people who got hurt during the duration of the event. And we got to talk about it, right? Like, we have to.
We do. And sort of, like, preemptive content warning as we go into, I guess, particularly the conversation around Dario Usceva and Sambo in general. Like, if you've listened to us, you kind of get where we stand on that. So we won't probably say anything too ridiculous. But, you know, we're going to be talking about a situation that, in our eyes, has a lot of, like, red flags for not-so-great treatment of underage people. So, you know, be forewarned.
Yeah. Also, general warnings about, you know, sports-related injuries and all of the stuff that we're about to address real quick. And we're not gonna go into detail because I feel like in the past week or so we've said, and by we I mean like the community at large, not just the two of us, we've said a lot and it's all been heard I think, by a lot of people. Yeah, here's where I stand as a person, and this is not a statement on behalf of myself and Megan or of the podcast as a quote-unquote brand or anything, but Megan, I just need to repeat what I did say on Twitter as well. At this point, I'm kind of over it. I'm kind of over the, like, hand-wringing that I've personally been doing for years now, where I'm like, yeah, I don't like, you know, what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing about how those girls are treated, but like, her dress was pretty, or I enjoyed the music, or like whatever. At this point, I am over trying to find anything good to say about anything that comes out of that camp. And it's not because I don't enjoy these skaters themselves. I think every single skater who has reached that point where we watch them on an international level and they're, you know, winning things and setting records and being trailblazers in the sport, obviously they're extremely talented and they've done something to get there. However, I personally feel deeply uncomfortable commending any of it. Even when it's good, even when it's fun, even when they're winning and happy and smiley and, you know, their dogs and moms and dads and cousins are there, I cannot continue to endorse any of it because the price it comes with is literal children training with injuries, training through injuries, being told that, you know, oh, this is not as bad as it could have been, therefore they will be back on the ice in 2 weeks or whatever. I do not think there is a single medal or accolade or record that is worth the amount of putting people's lives in danger and like livelihoods in danger and health in danger that this particular camp is doing. And that's not to say that there is not shitty coaches and shitty treatment of athletes elsewhere in the world or in the same country, but in different camps. But the consistency of how many horror stories we're hearing, I'm kind of over it. I cannot keep pretending to have fun about it.
Yeah, I think that's honestly really well said. And I have very little new to add. I feel really the same way. I think that, you know, for all that, I mean, speaking of us kind of saying like, hello, welcome, this is our brand, this is who we are on this show, we tend to try really hard to be as positive as we can, not in like a fake way, but like, you know, these are all people working very hard. Oftentimes they're honestly like 99% of the time they're younger than us. You know, shout out to like Alexei Bachenko, who's keeping the dream alive. So I never want to be like bitchy about it. I always try to treat it like if this was a student of mine or a friend of mine or like a younger cousin of mine, like what would I say afterwards? I would find the things they did well and encourage them and whatever. So I agree, though. I'm kind of really tired of coming at it from that point with the Atari Daniil Sambo camp. And again, not because I don't think the skaters are great, but because it's just this consistent pattern that we've been seeing with all the interviews coming out of what, you know, and of, you know, oh, they're allowed to eat this and not this. Or, you know, I mean, if you really dig and do your homework, like it's just a larger pattern. And again, like Netta said, it's not that it doesn't happen anywhere, everywhere else to a degree, but that's kind of a bullshit argument that like you shouldn't go after one thing just because it happens elsewhere. You know, it's like one instance of being bad doesn't matter less because other instances occur. Like that, yeah, doesn't make any sense to me. So, oh, I was going to say that it reminds me a lot of like, okay, so content warning, I'm going to talk a little bit about, in vague terms, the experience of being bullied in school, if that's like upsetting for anyone. It reminds me a lot of like how most bullying in school is actually really hard to explain after the fact because it's like an accumulation of small vibes based things that individually don't really actually sound that bad. And it's very rarely anybody like, you know, coming up to you and like passing you a note that's signed with their name that outlines all the reasons they hate you. It's like just all it's stuff that like if you were to sit down with the principal, it's never, you very rarely have a paper trail or anything. It's just, you know, all vibes from people who are closing ranks. And it doesn't mean it's not happening. It that's how it happens most of the time. It's just really hard to go after. And that's kind of the feeling that it gives me We're like, we're not in a position to persecute anybody, but this is our show where we get to decide what we talk about. And we're lucky that that's the case. And I think that we just, yeah, I think we just have gotten to a point where we no longer feel great, like pretending, not that we've ever pretended it didn't happen, but like pretending that it's okay enough that we don't have to.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
The thing is something that just occurred to me as we're trying to articulate this. Of course, it happens elsewhere. And of course, there's this history in aesthetic sports and ballet and all of that where it's like, oh, well, they must, you know, suffer and be broken about it. And it's like part of the narrative. And I hope and trust and believe that things are changing because athletes are not afraid to speak out and because we are, you know, we as a community, not we as the two of us, speaking out about it. In this particular case, though, the fucked up thing is that, first of all, it happens with such consistency and it has happened to so many people in various ways. And secondly, right, they still produce the winners. They still produce the Olympic gold medalists. They still produce the world champions. They still produce all of that. So that gives someone in some small, tiny elsewhere team the excuse to treat their young athletes like shit, because the excuse is, well, if you want to be like insert Russian skater here, this is what she goes through, and if you want to be this good, this is what it's like. And that's a fucked up little narrative, and I am done with all of it, honestly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to draw a line under why this particular case is like quote unquote special or unique among what is unfortunately, I'm sure, a very widespread problem, it's because they are getting insane score inflation that we're told to just ignore, which, like, I don't know where it's coming from or why. I'm not an expert and I'm not in the rooms where it happens, so to speak, but we all see it happening. We all know what numbers are. We all went to, you know, elementary school. And can add. And also, yeah, they, you know, she wins coach of the year at the ISU Grammys or whatever the fuck. so it's not like we're not explicitly saying yes, 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 continue every time.
But we are saying we're going to continue to reward this. And that's the fucked up part.
That's what I meant to say is that is that they're giving her the go ahead in every possible tangible way.
Yeah. The last thing I want to say about Daria's case in particular, well, two things. First of all, I never, ever in my entire life, as long as I live, want to see a child carried off anywhere injured in my entire life ever again.
Yeah, disgusting. Horrible.
Just, and also, side note, whoever was fucking producing this event, fucking vulture-ass, bullshit-ass people with the close-up, like, Nancy Kerrigan angles, fucking get over yourselves. That was disgusting, and I was over it.
I wasn't mad about the slow-mo replay just because I think it's good that everybody saw what happened, but I agree that, like,
no, but like, that fucking ugly, and you should know better. It's 2020 fucking one. Anyway, what I want to say is also fucked up. Also, hi, welcome to a podcast. I swear a lot, and get over yourselves.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing I meant to say is that we swear all the time, and if you don't like it, I'm sorry. It's part of our vernacular.
If you're looking for, like, dainty, little, polite, demure people to give you analysis, this is not a podcast. Anyway, the other thing that is extremely fucked up here is before we knew exactly what the level of injury was, people, you know, there were a few theories floating around, and there was, like, is it a hip fracture? Is it, like, did she pull something? Like, there were different just people trying to parse out what happened. And then when it came out what it actually was, it wasn't like, hey, she's going to be okay. It was like, oh, don't worry, 90% of people recover from this and they will be, and they're back to, like, full movement very, very soon. Which just sounds like setting the table for, like, when we inevitably see her training in, like, a month, for them to be like, well, we did tell you that she's going to be fine. Which is just sinister.
Is there, like, OSHA for child figure skaters? Like, surely people shouldn't be getting injured on the job in this way. But they do, and it's a dangerous sport, and we get it.
Is this where I form a union? And I don't mean the International Skating Union. I mean a separate union for skaters so that someone can be fucking looking out. And I know that's what safe sport should be. But again, we see what the quote-unquote establishment is doing in response to all of this. It's
we should make skaters unionize. I know a lot of good lawyers.
I don't know any lawyers, but moral of the story is fucking unionize. I'm sweating. I'm so mad. And also, this comes off the heels of the fact that Sasha Trusova has already pulled out because she is injured. Because she already skated her last event with a fucking hairline fracture.
Correct. Yeah. And also, I had heard something about Sherbakova having a neck injury. Like, they're all injured. And I mean, whatever. Like, skaters have injuries all the time. But like, again, it's the pattern. It's if you zoom out and you look at the big picture, like, all of them right now, all the time,
so
and they
much.
Have 2-year careers.
Yeah.
So much. Okay, one last thing I want to say on this is that last night I read an interview with Stasia Konstantinova, mm-hmm. who hasn't skated in a little while and was somewhat of a controversial figure back in the day because there were accusations that she was getting a lot more Fed support than she deserved because of, like, family connections, which, I don't know, I found her a delightful skater, but tech-wise, you're right, she'd say you as though you said it. You know, tech-wise, she wasn't always up to it. And I really liked her a lot. But
I think she gets inflated PCS on the basis of who has the ugliest cat in the sport, actually.
That's true. There is a secret off menu item on the scoring rubric, and it's ugliest cat.
It's like just pet content, which is why Mariah Bell has like a bunny farm at this point.
Exactly. And why we have all the dog stuff with Sambo. But anyway,
I'm trying so hard to make jokes. Carry on.
Okay, yes. So Stasia gave an interview in which she really, like, defended Sambo. She said the worst thing we could do for Daria is to go after her coaches, which, like,
no.
is telling in and of itself because that's actually really scary. That's, like, when you are in a situation where, like, you want to get involved and then someone's like, oh, no, that'll make it worse. That'll piss them off more. And I don't think that's literally what she meant, but that was the vibes I got. But she was just like, yeah, injuries are common, blah, 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 blah. And some people were also upset because she made comments about weight, I guess, which I didn't think as far as comments not that you should ever really comment about weight, but, like, as far as comments I have seen about weight, it wasn't as judgy or fatphobic or anything as I thought it was going to be. I read it and it was essentially her in the context of discussing Lisa versus, like, the young Atari girls, saying that, like, Lisa just is older and, like, weighs more, and so she probably, like, doesn't need quads or shouldn't attempt them. And, like, again, don't comment on someone's weight, but I took her meaning to be, like, she's just post-pubescent, and, like, that's pretty evident to say. I don't know, just, like, don't say it. But my moral of the story here is that, like, I think on a scale of, like, completely absolving people versus, like, holding people extremely accountable, I kind of don't care when it comes to people like Stasia Konstantinova because, like, I like her as a skater, but, like, she's not the top of the food chain here. And
yeah, what the fuck is she gonna do about it?
I don't have time or energy to be like, fuck you, you're canceled, when she's clearly just commenting on a system that she's complicit in and, like,
oh, so not, a system really that her. She was raised in. It's so hard to see this for what it is when it's, like, been your entire life. Because, like, Stasia, as much as she's in a different camp, has been a tiny little Russian figure skater her entire life. And family connections or not, like, this is the culture she's grown up in. Also, I know I said one last thing. For the sake of... yes, we're going to be biased because it's our own show. I need to address the fact that one of my problematic favorites and a person whom I've defended for quite literally my entire adult life, the past 15 years, one Mr. Johnny Weir, has been fucking around, being in Russia, visiting Sambo, posting about it, like, oh my god, Spasibo Bolshoi for, like, letting me be here. And I'm like, sir, read the fucking room. I know it's, like, an Olympic Channel opportunity and blah, 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 but it's in such poor taste right now. And it's, like, it's just, like, the levels to which this camp is, like, internationally advertised is, like, oh my god, I get to be, like, in this very special place and see the magic happens. And I'm like, no!
Right. No, precisely. And I mean, I think it's all part and parcel of the same thing. If you're Stasia Konstantinova, you're not competing internationally anymore, but you want to stay relevant. You want to maybe be a pundit or something. Keep getting these interviews. Of course, you're going to comment on
Stasia Konstantinova, the Roy Kent of Russian figure skating.
Exactly. She's going to keep, you know, she's going to say what the people want to hear, what the Russian media want to hear, which is like, you know, Russia's great. And likewise, Johnny, you know, it's like if he wants to continue being a hot shit American commentator, he's got to kind of do what the Olympic Channel says, which is go to who's going to win the Olympics. And like, so it's, again, it's like individually, yeah, it would be wicked nice if anybody with any modicum of power would say something
different,
like, normal, and not like, let's all pretend this isn't happening. But I understand from like a capitalistic propaganda standpoint why these things are happening. And I still blame the people at the top the most.
Yeah, same. Anyway, this is it. Let's talk about the other person who withdrew.
The other person who withdrew is Yuzuru Hanyu, who we haven't gotten to talk on this about on this podcast.
I miss him.
Like, for ages. I miss him so much.
I miss my boy. But also, and I'm not here to compare injuries or responses to injuries or anything like that, because that's crappy. But I am so proud of him for knowing his limits and knowing when your prolonged health in life as a person is way more important than showing up to an event that you've won countless times. And I did see people on the internet be like, well, like, Yuzu and Nathan and, like, other, like, people get hurt all the time. Why should it matter when it's, you know, the Russian girls? And it's, I mean, yeah, it's an extreme, big, dangerous sport, but there's a difference between being someone who's achieved so much and is in their mid-20s and has had an ongoing injury and, you know, having all of your bones snap in half when you're 15. That's the difference. So anyway, I think between him and, like, we keep drawing, like, the Simone Biles parallel, I think it's so important for people who are that influential and that iconic and, you know, trailblazers to be like, hey, sometimes you gotta fucking withdraw from the thing. And that doesn't make you any less of an athlete or any less of a champion or winner or like whatever else.
Exactly. And I mean, yeah, because at the end of the day, if you're really riding the angle that 15, 16 is the peak of athletic ability and physical perfection in a person, which like, yuck. But if you're really like, if you're really selling that, then you had better have some super athletes out here and not people who are constantly too hurt to skate. You know, like you can't have it both ways. Either the body is incredible and at its peak at that age, or people are snapping in half.
Or the body is still growing and its bones are still soft baby bones. Anyway, I wish for Yuzu's smart and speedy recovery, and I miss him very much. And he has, as of right now, like, completely withdrawn from the Grand Prix series. And honestly, like, he's won the whole thing so many times. It's so much better for him to, like, heal and rest than to be reckless, you know?
Yeah, and likewise Rika. I mean, she achieved so much at a young age that she has time to, like, recuperate. And I think that she was a skater who really suffered when she was competing more frequently from like nerves, and I just hope that this is like giving her the time she needs to like really recover and take some time for herself.
I think, and I'm sorry, I don't want to be morbid and I might cut this, who knows, I would much rather miss some of my favorite skaters at a comp every once in a while than see people get so hurt so often. Like, I don't want to see people on stretchers ever again. Like, I don't want that.
No, huge same.
Anyway, should we talk about this podium? Because the people who actually skated were good.
Yeah, they were. And I think because of all of these withdrawals, it's always that thing of, do we wish the circumstances were different? Of course, we don't want anybody to be hurt. But when they get hurt, the field typically changes in a way that is perhaps interesting. Like, perhaps we haven't seen a ladies' field without any of Atari's skaters in it for, like, a fucking million years. And it was kind of nice, even though I, of course, would have preferred nobody, like, really hurt themselves.
Yeah, likewise. I mean, it's shocking, but it's fine to have a nuanced opinion about things. And I would like to, now that we've gotten all of this out of the way and it's been 15 to 20 minutes, let's talk about the people who did skate, the people who did win, and acknowledge that with or without their circumstance, people performed really fucking well. And it was good.
It was. Do you want to start with the ladies?
Yeah, let's do it.
The women, the girls, the people. So in third place, Young Yu or Yu Young, depending on what country you're in. We were in Japan, so we will say Young Yu from South Korea, always gorgeous, and actually has started kind of discovering that she can like use her face, which is very exciting.
Yeah, I was so sold on her this time. I mean, I always enjoy her skating, but this time for some reason I was really, really, really vibing with her and having a great time watching her skate. She was consistently very good. She was third in the short, second in the free skate. The math worked out so that she ended up in bronze, but she was fantastic. And I do want to say she has the superior Les Mis cut this year. Her Les Mis gets me so pumped. I could do without the actual like vocal part of I Dream the Dream because I feel like we get it. But it's actually a very interesting, like it goes through like opening number and then there's like a little bit of like at the end of the day and then it goes to like the epilogue situation. I just think it's a smarter Les Mis cut than we've seen in a hot second.
Yeah, and I should say like she didn't land either triple axel and she still managed to get bronze, which I think is like a testament to the fact that she is also, it's not just like a one-trick pony situation. She's getting the drama, she's getting the skating skills and the performance. I think that Korea has like a really excellent women's field right now, and it's going to be really interesting to see who you know, how it shakes out at nationals and who makes it to the Olympics. I would say, like, you know, we talk a lot about obviously like Russia having this like machine of pumping out like similar athletes, and like I see it a little bit with Korea, but like obviously very different circumstance. I think that with the success of Kim Yuna, it was like, yes, okay, you know, she has her all that sports and you know, we want to invest a lot into this. It happens anytime any country has like a star athlete, they invest a shitload. And so now we see all these like lovely young ladies, and it's like I don't necessarily see it as a problem because I've never heard of anybody being like so horribly injured or sick or anything. But it's like I observe it and I'm like, nice. You know, it's nice to see a generation come up and clearly have gotten support and inspiration.
Yeah, I think it's fine to like both acknowledge that there is a very clear like skull of like this generation of skaters and kind of be mindful about it, but also like not necessarily be cynical about it, because I mean, you're right, anytime I'm actually kind of, and I know we kind of discussed it last time as well, I'm kind of obsessed with the watching the domino effect of what happens when there's this once in a generation athlete and how that reflects on like the next generation. I think it's very exciting. And it can be.
So yeah, I mean, every Olympics you hear interviews with the winners or any participant about what Olympics they remember, what teams they remember. And, you know, if you want to take it back to like Nathan Chen, he's from Salt Lake City. And he said the reason he started skating was because the Olympics were in Salt Lake City.
Because he had a rank all of a sudden.
Yeah, when he was at a formative age and all of a sudden it was like, oh, there's winter sports stuff here. So it, you know, it all happens. And I think that anytime anything is successful, you know, there's always more investment into it. It's just sort of how,
yeah,
it's not even really capitalism, like it kind of is, but it's kind of, I don't know. What I'm trying to say is that Young Yu is one example of many wonderful, talented skaters on Team Korea, and I'm just happy to see that they're all getting like the funding and the chance to shine, because every single Grand Prix event I'm like, oh my god, the Korean ladies are like so good. I love Team Korea's jackets, by the way. Also, they remind me of, like, this is so specific and like a little bit telling of my level of means, but a couple years ago, like before COVID, Forever 21 did a collaboration with, like, I want to say Kodak or like some camera company, and they had a bunch of shirts and apparel that were like branded kind of like the way that old cameras used to look.
Yeah.
Does anyone else remember this? That's what the Team
Korea
jacket.
It was either Kodak or Polaroid, one of them. Yeah.
Yeah, one of them. Yeah, for sure. I remember like seeing all the shirts and I'm like, this shirt looks like a camera from the '90s. That's fashion. It's $2 and it has a hole in the armpit by the time I got home.
Yeah, fast fashion is extremely bad, but I know what you mean. Kind of also speaking about Team Korea's fashion choices. First of all of them always look so incredibly opulent, and I'm always so like impressed by it's such a very specific aesthetic. And it's interesting because, for example, I think it was Young Yoo's Les Mis dress is actually Alyssa McKinnon, and you couldn't possibly tell because it doesn't have any of the like signature Alyssa McKinnon stuff on it, because it's like adapted to this style. And I find that fascinating because at first I was like, oh, they must have like one designer or like a style of design that like all of them like locally get done. And then it's like, oh no, this is just an aesthetic that keeps like being upheld, which is interesting and fun.
We should try one day to get a figure skating costume designer like Lisa or somebody on, because I'm so curious about how countries tend to have aesthetics, individual skaters tend to have aesthetics, and then the designer has an aesthetic, and like how do you mesh all those? Because like I could tell you what is a Korean costume look like, what is a Japanese costume look like, what is an American costume look like. Like there's through lines there, which is so interesting.
Yes, that would be fascinating. Let's dream about it and make it happen.
One day after the Olympics, because I'm tired.
One day after the Olympics when they're not gluing on Swarovskis just all the time everywhere. We'll get someone. The other thing I did want to say about fashion is we've seen it mostly with like the South Korean ladies, also kind of with the Japanese skaters, and I'm sure other people throughout, but the opulence that we're seeing in the women's updos this year, there's just so many like elven hair accessories that are going on, and I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah, it's honestly, we've come a long way from the sock bun, ladies. It is full hair show, and I'm living it. I'm living for it.
It's always so gorgeous. Yes, let's move
gorgeous. Let's move on. So in second place with the silver medal is Japan's Monika Wabe.
A sweet, sweet angel child. She was not even supposed to be there, and she stepped the fuck up.
That's like my favorite narrative of Grand Prix events. It's like, she wasn't even supposed to be there.
Yeah, she did so wonderfully. Really, really held her own. And it's interesting because she wasn't supposed to be in the Grand Prix this year. And she ended up just having two events. She was at Skate Canada. She medaled at NHK. And that's so exciting, considering that like she wasn't even in the conversation heading into the Grand Prix series.
Yeah, and like she just kind of came out with her triple axel, and at first I was like, okay, she wasn't necessarily in the it's not that she wasn't in the triple axel conversation, like she was, but she wasn't at the top of the list of like the most definite, concrete, solid, and expected ones for me. And she came out, she did her triple axel, and also delivered some really excellent skating. And I was so proud of her. I would love her forever and ever and ever, ever since she did Mr. Grinch short program.
Yes.
The weirdest choice. One of those programs that people who don't know figure skating but know that I know it will send to me and be like, what the fuck is this?
Yep. Yep, I've gotten that ones. Sent to me by
me too.
A D&D friend.
Literally same, yeah.
Delightful. I do want to say her, is it her free skate? I think it's her free skate when it's the pink and purple situation.
Yeah.
So gorgeous. And she has like a little hair bow situation, like her little ribbon. First of all, I'm obsessed with any time anyone skates with their hair half down. I enjoy seeing people's hair just move around so much.
It's gorgeous. And I said this on Twitter, I think the first time I saw her skate this free. If you know, you know. there is a specific Halloween costume that came in a bag that was on sale at like Party City or whatever it used to be in the 90s called Renaissance Princess. And it was a crushed velvet gown that was this exact color scheme. It was this purple, this pink, and gold. And it had a weird like donut you put on your head. And everyone had it. I had it. My sister had it. Like, shout out on some sort of social media or leave us a comment on iTunes or something if you had the Renaissance Princess dress, because every single time I see that, I'm like so ready to go devour some Reese's Pieces. Like, it's this Halloween thing within me.
I don't always romanticize the quote-unquote capital W West, but I desperately wish Halloween would have been a thing for me growing up, because we didn't really have Halloween until it became like the thing that we adopted from like watching movies and shit. So all of this sounds so incredibly foreign to me, and I wish I'd had the purple Renaissance Princess costume, because it sounds like something I would live in.
There was also one that looked a lot like it that was like a witch costume that was black and gray that you got like the next year when in like eighth grade when you were a goth now, but you still wanted to be the hottest girl at the Halloween party.
I actually own a costumey witch gothic woman costume right now. It is in my closet as we speak, and I did tweet a video of me just doing my chores in it a couple weeks back, so you can
and
very
also,
much see that
there's many of
media.
Them and also it's your whole wardrobe.
So Kari Sakamoto won. And we're not gonna talk about me or my fashion choices. This is a hate crime.
I'm so sorry. No, you know I love it. You're a very fashionable person, and I strive to be like you. I'm in my pajamas right now.
Me too. So. I'm wearing sweatpants. They are black. I'm wearing black on black sweatpants. Let's talk about Kari Sakamoto.
Before we do that, I just want to say that Mana Kawabe is very special to me because I managed to love seeing her skate and root for her and want to adopt her. Even though she has maybe the worst combination of music of the season, I just cannot stand either her furry or her short. Her short is the Max Richter recut of, the Vivaldi Four Seasons. And it's so bad. And look, I welcome new people. I'm a musician and a composer, and I studied music and all this stuff. So, like, I talk about music a lot. I think that the idea of taking something really iconic and then like recutting it and making it new is like really cool. And I'm not against it, like from an ethical, like foo-foo snobby, like you can't touch Vivaldi, you know, kind of way. But I think that Max Richter's music is boring and overused, and it's like emblematic of a style that I find really boring. And What he did to Vivaldi. I mean, what he did to Winter is he put it in 7/8, which is like, ooh, a weird time signature. But it's like, that's all you did, though, bro? And
can you come up with something else?
Can you come up with something else? I mean, like, it's like, imagine being so confident in yourself as, like, a white man that, like, you took a famous painting and cut, like, the top corner off and were like, this...
Megan, you're like 20 years behind on contemporary art. At this point, you would have taken a screenshot of the Mona Lisa and then cut one of the corners and then been $2 million.
I just want it to be fucked up more. Fuck it up more. Make it weirder, Max Richter. Anyway, and then Sarah Brightman's voice gives me diarrhea at the end.
Oh, yeah. I think I texted you this in private. My brain refuses... And this is not a joke. This is not a bit. My brain refuses to process Sarah Brightman's voice as a thing that a human mouth and voice box made. Like, I can recognize it as a decent instrument, but my brain is like, this is not a person who is singing. And I don't know what that's about, but...
It's not a decent instrument. She's resonating in this really fucked up, weird way. But also, like... I really, 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 really hate the trope of accusing women of only being successful because of who they were married to. But, like, she and Andrew Lloyd Webber and I'm just going to
Andrew Lloyd Webber is a criminal, so I just hate the man anyway.
Did you see that weird interview where he was, like, with Malala Yousafzai? Am I saying that right? And, like, talking about her marriage with her. And I'm like,
no.
Why are they friends?
I have not willingly engaged in any Lloyd Webber content since I was in musical theater school and I was forced. I have not seen Cats 2019 because I refuse to engage in Lloyd Webber content even for a bit. He upsets me. Everything about his entire deal upsets me. speaking of men just taking things and making them weird but not weird enough. You know, when you take a poem about cats and you're like, this is my brand now.
Yeah, imagine like taking T.S. Eliot and being like, you know what? I think I know what this man meant. And then it's cats
and it's the furries. Fucking
musical. This man wrote Poof Rock, and you're like, you know what he wanted? He wanted fucking James Corden digging around in a fucking dumpster that was four times the size of him.
I mean, who amongst us doesn't want James Corden digging around in a dumpster? While we're atoning for our sins, I used to really enjoy James Corden back in the day. I feel like I've said this before. It's just my one sin. Let's talk about Kaori, because we've devolved.
We have. But you know what? Kaori inspires me every day. Yes. And that's the through line.
Sure. I will be cutting the ass bit. I will be leaving this in, so people are confused now. Kaori Sakamoto, I have so many thoughts and feelings and opinions, and I adore her, and it feels good and correct and right to see her winning.
Right? And by so much. Like, she had sizable lead.
Yeah.
And it was just gorgeous. It's just, she just, I controversially really like her programs this year. Yeah. I know there's a lot of blowback. I don't really care for
that. Yeah, I was going to be mean about it, but some of her friends don't like them. I was going to be like, yeah, fuck you if you don't like them. And then I was like, wait, her friends can have opinions and it's fine.
Yeah, I really like programs. I think that we've seen a few different sides of Kaori. I think we've seen the piano side, and I think we've seen the No Roots side. And I think these programs are a perfect marriage of, you know, contemporary movement that's not necessarily like super femme. It's like a little edgy. It's a little cool. It's a little athletic. But it's also, you know, has that like graceful, ethereal, wispy kind of classic quality to it. I don't know. Yeah. I think that it's a good marriage. I think it's right for her.
I will not be getting into choreography / program choice discourse, because I very much enjoy both of her programs. I do want to say it's kind of annoying to me that it's 2021 and we're still seeing people hate on what she's doing. Not because it's their personal, like, you know, preference to not like her style, but because you're like, oh, women should be soft and dainty and pretty and do classical pieces. And that's just a very boring take. Like, it's one of those things where I'm like, you realize you can just say you don't like the thing without like discoursing about it, right? Like, it doesn't need to be academically supported by evidence that you're just not vibing with something.
Yeah, it's like we all have to like preemptively defend ourselves against like an attack on our opinion, and it's like maybe that's just like a holdover from social media age or some shit, but you know, it's okay not to like something. No one's gonna be mad at you. The reason that I respect the opinions of my friends with whom I disagree more than random inflammatory strangers on the internet is because my friends are like, I don't like it. It's not for me. And then that's it. And it, so it's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's why you're my friend, because you're not
being
weird about it.
It's actually super enjoyable. Is that enjoyable? I can speak a language.
It is now. I like it.
It is enjoyable to have people in your circle that you don't share a lot of opinions with for like benign shit. Like, do you like the figure skating program or not? Because it makes for interesting conversation. It's fucked up when you make it about the politics of, you know, who gets to move in which way and shit like that. Having said all of that, I do want to say that her short program, we're back to Kaori now, Kaori's short program kind of does a bait and switch on me every time, because I do not like the first minute of it. And I'm like, oh, this is just kind of like too... It feels like the kind of contemporary art which wants me so badly to understand what it's trying to tell me. And I feel annoyed about it for like a minute. And then the instrumental picks up and she starts doing the step sequence. And then I'm like, okay, I get it. Never mind. I'll forgive your kind of clunky first act, because the second act is gorgeous.
You know, I like it. And but I totally see what you're saying about it being the whole like, I love being a woman and this is what being a woman is like, it's hard and blah blah blah, and like in it's the kind of music that in and of itself, I don't know a ton about, and I'm sure like the artist is amazing or something. I like, really don't know. I think it could very easily be used to make the kind of art or theater or performance piece
just
or dance
second wavy shitty
second wavy, like I'm not actually going to put effort into anything because the song tells you what I mean kind of thing.
Yep.
I like it because it's Cowrie and because the discourse around Cowrie has been like, I like it when she does pretty stuff versus like maybe that's not her personality, or maybe that's there's another side of her she wants to show, and how do we do that? I think it's kind of a, because of the context of who's skating it, I think it's interesting and compelling.
I also do want to say I misspoke and I said short program when I did mean free skate, whatever.
Oh, I know what you meant. I know what you meant.
Yeah. I do want to pitch one music change to you, which is we do the exact same thing, but instead of No More Fight Left in Me, we do Meredith Brooks's I'm a Bitch, I'm a Lover.
I see you that, and I raise you second half This Woman's Work by Kate Bush, because I've been saying for fucking ever that Cowrie needs to skate to Kate Bush, and I don't think I could tell you why. I just feel it in my heart. Back in the day, I did do an edit of Cowrie skating from my first moment with Wuthering Heights over it, and it slapped, and it's amazing. I'll repost it if it's still up.
Please
and hasn't
do.
Been taken down.
Please God, please do. This is the
it ate up
for
so much room on my computer. It was like 90% of my hard drive on my last computer, and I regret nothing. I just think the vibes are there, and the vibes are correct. And yes. I think we should be in charge of everyone's music from now on. Thank you. That's my pitch. I've been watching Succession, and so I'm using words like pitch a lot.
Once again, we've circled back to generating insane programs, and at this point, I need you to make me the Meredith Brooks, Kate Bush mix, and I will skate it in your honor. I will not skate it with the quality of Cowrie, but I can only hope that I skate it with, like, the impeccable vibes.
You would, yeah. I think you would nail it. So, that being said, seeing Cowrie win is the best. Okay, so we are now going to transition to men as... Sorry, that means it's something different.
Well,
in real time. Get out your testosterone. No,
hey,
fucking
hey, everyone, happy Trans Awareness Week.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is. And I love trans people so very much. And trans lives are incredibly important. Having said that, we're now going to move over to speaking about the men.
Just speaking about men, we have obviously a lot more to say about the rest of the women who were there. As always, if you want to hear our thoughts on the rest of the competitors who didn't make it to the podium, patreon.com/icetpod. And for a subscription of $5 or more per month, you can get our after show where we talk about everybody else.
And you keep our lights on. Like they say in that one song that all the boys skate to, you can leave a light on in our metaphorical studio by going to Patreon. Thank you.
You can. And you can keep us in this shirt if we can afford to buy.
You can help us build a home.
$2 Forever 21 shirts. You can help us build a home. You can help us be in this shirt. Yeah. Incredible shirt. Men?
Incredible men. I am delighted to tell you that the most beautiful boy in all the land, Zhang Huancha, has landed in the bronze at NHK 2021.
He has returned from the war of
puberty. Just his Cloak and Dagger program slaps so incredibly hard.
Literally, like, I don't want to fucking know a world in which Jinwon Cha is skating out and doing a short program that doesn't involve him being a clock and using his arms as clock hands. I don't want to fucking know that world.
You're right. I hadn't even thought about it. I hadn't even clocked that we have a through line. Oh, my God.
This is, of course, if you're new, it's a shout out to his program from like 2 or 3 years ago when he did Cinderella and he was a clock at what? It's just so good. It's like the boy has a brand and it's so weirdly specific that I don't know.
It's clock arms and having an incredible back of your blouse.
Yeah, it's always a cheeky back detail. It's always like, ooh, peekaboo. Can you talk me through your assessment that his hair looks like a TV?
His hair looks like a television set from the 1980s. And I am taking no notes at this time. I realize it's a trendy haircut. I realize he's literally a K-pop idol. I get all of that, but it reminds me of just a square, bulbous, fat TV set. And also my roommate did point out that this is the haircut that all of our elementary school teachers had in the late 90s and early 2000s in Eastern Europe.
That is the most vivid picture ever. I'm just picturing, like, turtleneck, like, women with the mushroom cut, like, mid-90s.
It's like that.
Eastern Europe.
And it's when you get, like, a thigh-length blazer and a midi skirt in the exact same fabric and just, like, some big fucking costume jewelry and you're wearing the makeup look of a Russian junior figure skater, which is just blue eyeshadow and, like, bright pink lipstick. And you're teaching Jesus me how Christ. To write cursive.
Now, quick cultural aside, was this true also in Eastern Europe? Because in America, every single art teacher in elementary school legally had to own a floor-length jean skirt. Is that a global mandate?
Not really, but mostly because we, until like sixth grade, you only have one teacher and she's your only teacher and she has Chen Huanche's hair.
Gotcha. So she had to be versatile. She had to be ready to go at any time.
Yes,
with that sleek hair.
Correct. Yes. Anyway, I've discovered recently that I really, really, really like Puccini.
Puccini's having a moment.
He is. He's one of several Italian men who is just having a real good time this season. There has not been a single time in my life where I hear the, like, title verse of Nessun Dorma and I don't fucking pop off. It's just the heavy drama of it. I'm like, yes.
And it's like, it's like I forget. Because, okay, like, I'm going to be honest with you. Yes, I did major in music. Yes, I was at one time in my life on track to, like, go to conservatory and be an opera singer. And I also, considering all those things, don't actually know a ton about opera because I didn't really like opera, which is why I didn't end up doing it. But much like, you know, we see on certain figure skaters, and it's really unfortunate, I was very much like, oh, I'm good at this and I'm young and adults are telling me to do it, so I'm going to do it kind of kid. So that's why that happened. But all this to say that I don't necessarily know the names of any songs ever. I know, like, most people, like, tunes, and then they come up and I'm like, where do I know that from? Oh, fucking, like, Looney Tunes or a car commercial. And the day that we learned what it was in lecture, I was sleeping. So the, this, I promise I'm very smart and well-educated. So all this to say that I hear Nessun Dorma, and I hear the part that's like, Nessun Dorma, Nessun Dorma. And I'm like, oh, shit, it's Nessun Dorma. Oh, shit, what up?
And then here comes that no sleep. What up?
Here comes that no sleep. And then the part comes in that's like, da, 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 da. And I'm like, shit, that's part of it too. It's all one song. Are you fucking joking? That song is legendary.
It is so funny because I think I actually read something about it at some point about how much of, like, children's exposure to classical music is through classic cartoons. I wish I could find it because it's so interesting and it's such a, like, fun through line to, like, draw. I don't have anything else that's smart to say about it, but I do very much enjoy. I enjoy both of his programs and I enjoy seeing Baby J back where he belongs on a podium.
And I would love to see just as many things from 2 or 3 years ago season come back this year as possible because that's just the shit I do like.
Yeah. We've had several, like, throwbacks to a couple seasons ago, and if Chen Huan doing well is one of them, I will not be complaining about it. In silver, we have Vincent Zhou, and I have nothing to say about it.
Yeah, I was really hopeful earlier this season that maybe he was having some sort of a, like, come to Jesus with, like, facial expressions and body coordination and movement that would make me enjoy it more. And if he did, I don't know. I didn't see it this time. I don't see it. I don't get it. I just feel like his limbs kind of move separately than his body.
Yeah, I feel like I'm being consistently gaslit about the quality of his quad sal. And as we know, I have a lot of thoughts and feelings about people's quad sals. I just, again, I have nothing new to say about any of it. I do enjoy when he gets humbled a little bit. I'm sorry, that sounds so mean, but I mean it. He was sixth in the free, and I feel like he needs to know what that feels like and sit with that feeling and maybe explore it and use it for facial expressions.
Yeah, maybe.
Y'all are so lucky I got bullied in high school. Can you fucking imagine if I were like that when I was a teenager?
I don't I didn't know you until you were like 22. So like I have to say the ripple effect might have come out. Okay, first of all, I want to say, side tangent, tiny bit. I know that there's like controversy in like the discourse sphere over like the use of the word gaslighting. And I would personally like to throw my hat in the ring and say that as somebody who has by literally any strict gatekeepy definition actually been gaslit, I reserve the right to use it colloquially. I think that language. Same. Both of us. And I think that in the same way that like I got diagnosed with actual OCD when I was 8 years old. And if you say, oh, I'm so OCD about my kitchen counters, I don't fucking care, because things mean things colloquially. Literally means literally and also figuratively now. And like, get over it. Language is evolving all the time. So whatever. I reserve our right to use it in the silly way.
Yes, correct. Likewise.
Let's gatekeep gaslighting.
Oh my God, Megan, you're such a girl boss. Let's gaslighting
like girl bosses. I know. And let's tell people who are claiming that they were victims of being lied to that they're wrong. Like, what the fuck is the logic of that?
Yeah, yeah. Oh God, there is just so many levels of just absolute fucking bad. Thank you for defending me from just like the imaginary people who would be mad at me for saying I feel gaslit by his quotes. I stand by it. Also, I'm over. I do not have anything else to say.
Yeah, I don't really either. I recognize that all of his choreography, I recognize that his arms are doing the right arm things. I recognize that his legs are doing the right leg things. For me, it's this internal sense of like it all being coordinated, it all radiating out from your center and your heart. I don't know. It's all like woo-woo dancey bullshit, but like it's just something's not connected there and it's not for me, and that's fine.
Yeah. Anyway, Shoma 101 NHK. Again.
God, you motherfucking love to see it. You love to
see it. Yes! He is the main character.
He fucking is the main character and he knows it. And that was, remember that? Did you read the Nick Carvel
yes.
interview? Where it was like, he likes to be the main character. It's like,
good.
It's a sports anime and he's in it and he's the star. And if I don't, wait, can we?
Yes. We can.
I don't know if this makes for a good story on radio, but like, Netta and I were having this conversation and doing a stupid bit amongst ourselves where I was like, they have to make a movie about this. They have to make a movie about Shoma's career. And Netta was like, and Margot Robbie will play everybody. And I was like, yeah. Okay, but Margot Robbie as Dennis Vasilios is something I now genuinely need to see.
It's an I, Tonya joke in 2021. Don't fucking at me. Hi, if you're one of those people who does fun display names on Twitter, please make your display name Margot Robbie as Dennis Vasilios. I will PayPal you 10 USD from my own pocket for it. Also, just picture Margot Robbie as Dennis Vasilios, please. Just visualize it in your head and tell me it's not brilliant.
Please, this is why we have MFAs, because we come up with these brilliant ideas.
Also, I do want to make a real quick disclaimer that, of course, while Margot Robbie plays everyone in this film, the role of Shoma Uno is indeed reserved for Scarlett Johansson.
Obviously.
She has earned the right.
She's earned that, I think.
Yeah, she's earned playing this Japanese man and his struggles.
Yeah, well, who else has the resume to back it up, you know? So...
I
would like to say,
God, Jesus Christ,
that Shoma is a beautiful, beautiful skater, and he did so friggin' well. It's so nice to see him consistent.
God, don't fucking jinx it. Do not fucking jinx it.
Okay, knock on wood. I'm just talking about how he did at that competition. But I also cried my eyes out in the interview when he said that he wants to do well so that everybody can see what a good coach Stefan is. I just lost my fucking, I lost my shit.
I do also want to say, like, him and Stefan is obviously such a fucking success story. They obviously work so well with each other. And we all know where Shoma was 2 years ago, and we all know where he's at now. But I was thinking about it as well, that back when Stefan was coaching, you know, Yellow Pants Margot Robbie, there was a contingent on the internet and just like in figure skating world, which was not taking him seriously. It was like, oh, you know, he can no longer compete. So he's like, you know, good for this skater to be trying out this coaching thing kind of vibe. And I think he's undeniable now. And I think that's fucking sexy.
Right? And absolutely. Another thing that's undeniable was his little gay mask chain that he put on his single-use mask. And that, to me,
I respect
is like,
wearing a chain on a single-use mask. I respect it so hard this is the fashion moment of NHK. I know people wore very beautiful costumes, but actually, no, wait, while we're talking about it, the moment, the fashion moment of NHK for me personally, one, Stefan's mask chain, two, Jeremy Abbott's entire deal.
Oh my god, yes.
Speaking if we're talking about student... retired figure skaters who are now serving fucking looks in the Kiss and Cry as coaches.
People that I think Margot Robbie would actually take a decent crack at playing.
Margot Robbie! Why is Margot Robbie as any figure skater the funniest thing we've ever conceived of?
It'll be, no, this is just going to be an anthology series, okay? Where every week it's a different pair of like coach and skater, and it's played by Margot and Scarlett.
And Margot and Robbie week plays it's
Stefan and it's, yeah. And then it's like Scarlett Johansson can be Alyssa while Margot Robbie is Jeremy Abbott. And it's just an ensemble cast, you know? This is fucking horrible and we don't endorse this.
No, oh my god, please no. This is a very extended bit, but we are making fun of the things you want us to be making fun of, I promise. Wait, but does that mean if it's just Margot Robbie playing everyone in the film, does that mean she gets to play everyone that Chom is competing against as well? Is it just like, is it like a Parent Trap, like the Lindsay Lohan version of a Parent Trap situation?
Where Margot Robbie is switched with Margot Robbie?
Oh, God. Megan, I think this is it. I think the rest of this is for Patreon.
I agree. Thank you so much for listening. And we hope you enjoyed our absolutely unhinged coverage.
And if you didn't enjoy it, good news is next time this podcast will be hosted by Margot Robbie and Scarlett Johansson.
I don't know if either of us is Asian enough for Scarlett Johansson to be brought into the conversation.
Fuck, you're right. But she is very good at playing, like, jaded me in Eastern European.
That's true. She could be you, yeah. Well, then I guess Margot Robbie will be me. And,
good. It's what you deserve. Yeah. Oscar-winning performance. Thank you all so much for listening. There will be more of this over on Patreon at patreon.com/icedpod to help us keep a light on in the metaphorical studio. Also, we're both on the internet. Megan, where can people find you?
I am on Twitter at MeganKelleher3. I am also on a D&D podcast. If that's your cup of tea, it's at EclipsePod. And Netta, where are you on the internet?
You can find me at Netta Marie. That's N-E-D-A Marie on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find me at N_ice skating if you want to see me figure skate and see that I'm very justified in having strong opinions about people with quads. You can also find both of us at IcedPod on Twitter and Instagram, and also again on Patreon, patreon.com/IcedPod. Megan, do you want to shout out some people who are already helping us build a home and keeping us in this shirt?
I super do.
Reminding us that we don't have to wear that dress tonight.
They are the Giacomo to our Puccini, and they yes. are Jesse, Kieran, Mary, Jana, Barbara, another Barbara, Sunny, Erin, Aura, Sally, Samira, Joe, KM. In spirit, I am always throwing plushies at Evgenia Medvedeva, Jennifer, Heath, Jules, Danny, and Jordan. Thank you guys.
Thank you guys so much. We love you very, very, very much. We are two men in love. We are one of the men, and the other man is all of y'all. We'll be back next week, and we'll be in France.
That's the one. That's the one.
Ooh, thank you. La. Love you. Bye. Oh la la. Bye. Je suis going home. Bye. Je suis going home. Bye.